Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, joined by my co-host, Tina Michelle, and it is a blessing. It is a blessing for us to be with you on today. God is good. Oh, yes, God is good and worthy to be praised. There's none like him. And we're just here today, woman to woman, real talk on being a woman of God. Women, we go through so many issues. We go through so many struggles, and God is concerned with women. God is concerned with our trials and our tribulations. God is concerned with every tear that we cry. God is concerned with everything that pertains to us being women of God. And we're here to share with you and talk with you about what's going on with women of God on the real tip. You know, we don't want to play games, and we just want to be real. I just have a yearning in my heart, and I feel the Lord wants us to be real. Amen. So let us pray.
Amen.
Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You are worthy, God. Oh, God, you're so worthy to be praised. There's none like you, and we magnify your name today. We thank you for being God in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you for changing us. We thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about us, that you have your mind on the women in your kingdom on today, and women who are not even saved. So, God, we ask that you would use us on today for your glory. Get the glory during this hour, Lord. Let it not be about myself or Tina. Let it be about you, God. Let it be about the woman that you send this way. Let it be about hope and healing, restoration, Father God, salvation, deliverance, and being free in Christ and free indeed. So, Father, we just ask that you come into this place. Come into this place in a mighty way and get the glory, God. Get the glory during this time that we are together, Lord. Use us, Father God. Use us. Move in us. Move through us, Father God, like a mighty wind, Father God. And let us have ears to hear and eyes to see. Let us have discernment to know what it is that you would want us to say during this time that we are together. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Tina.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is about 12:04. And it's a good day to be alive.
Yes, Lord, it is. It is. Every day.
Every day. So what's going on? How has your week been since we last were together here on this broadcast?
You know, it's amazing to me that even as the day came up, it's Thursday, and I said, you know what, it feels like I was just on the show just 2 days ago.
Wow.
It's just 2 days ago, because there's so much that pivots for me in my mind now around this time that I get to be with you and talk to the women. It's just wonderful, and the men. It's just wonderful that it's really become a highlight, a major highlight of my week.
Amen.
You know, it's just something that I'm doing, you know. No, this is a major highlight for me, and I love it. So everything has been good. God is good. Everything keeps moving. And, people ask me, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving with the glory cloud. But if the glory cloud don't move, I'm not moving.
Praise God. Praise God. And that's what we have to do. We have to allow the Lord to lead us and to order our steps. To order our steps and show us the way that we should go, especially as women, you know, because women, we go through a lot. I was sitting in my bedroom last night watching television, taking some downtime after being very, very busy for the past week and a half, and watching a program, and I was sitting there, and I had an urge for a candy bar. So my husband has some Butterfingers on the shelf, and I picked up a Butterfinger, And I ate the Butterfinger, and it was so good. The Butterfinger was delicious. It was, you know, if you've ever had a Butterfinger, it's crunchy, it's chocolate, it's peanut butter. And I ate that Butterfinger. Now, I had eaten pizza for dinner. This is, the, I'm going to tell you about the way I went to bed last night. I had eaten pizza for dinner, and my husband was knocked out. He was asleep. And I ate that Butterfinger. Now, I'm full. I was full. I was already full once I ate the chocolate, but I had this yearning for chocolate. And I looked up on that shelf. He had on the top shelf. We have two shelves above our television set. And I looked on the shelf, and I saw that second Butterfinger. Now, before my husband went to sleep, I told him, I said, I want to put something in my ear. And I'll go into that a little bit later. But I saw that second Butterfinger. And I said, you know what, I want to eat that Butterfinger. Now, I had just eaten one. It wasn't a little Butterfinger. It was a big Butterfinger. And I said, I want to eat that Butterfinger. And I said, I didn't even tell myself no, but I literally reached up before I could tell myself no, got the second Butterfinger, peeled the paper off, and ate the second Butterfinger. And you're laughing at me. But you know I was sick by then after eating the pizza. Three slices of pizza and two Butterfingers. So now I'm sick. And I'm looking at that thing, and I go back to my ear. I had said I wanted to put something in my ear because I had just suffered from an ear infection because I have I had a bad habit of putting hairpins or Q-tips into my ear to scratch my ear because it itches sometimes. Allergies or what have you. And I've done this over the years about five times over the years, and this last time was last month. And the doctor always looks at me and shakes her head like, you can't do that. And I had just told my husband I want to put something in my ear, and he said, no, don't do it. So I didn't put anything in my ear, but what I did do was overindulge myself on Butterfinger and pizza. Now, why am I telling this story? I'm telling this story because the Lord brought it to my remembrance that women go through our own, we go through our own struggles, and sometimes there are vices outside of alcohol and drugs, but sometimes it is alcohol and drugs. Sometimes it's men that we turn to in order to give ourselves an emotional lift. And you know, I have a good life. I have some things going on. I have some stress around me. And I guess anybody listening would know that that's me reacting to the stress around me. You know, I have my daughter's been here for going on 3 months with our children. And, you know, so I'm parenting my adult daughter and her husband. And so much going around that I'm handling because I am a woman of God and I have the word of God and I know how to apply the word. But there are moments, why I'm telling the story, Tina, and everybody listening, is because there are moments when we get weak. There are moments when we turn to the candy. Or even, I have to just be totally honest, when people will turn to the bottle or turn to a man. You know, for fulfillment, to say I'm empty, I'm feeling empty, and right now I need a quick fix. And I just want to tell the story because so many times we will put scripture out there, and we will tell people to turn to the Lord, that God's going to fix it, God's not going to put any more on you can handle, you can hang in there, don't grow weary in well-doing, stand after you've done everything to stand, just stand. And we know how to throw scripture out there, and we know how to use God's word to empower us. But if the truth were to be told, if I can get some amens, there are times when nothing else seems to be able to work than what we can reach for right now. And we know that that's a weak moment because we know that God's word works and we know that God is with us and that God strengthens us. But he allows, God allows, and I want to say if you have those weak moments, don't wallow in it. Last night, God, my God, he anointed me in that weak moment. And I sat down and I said, God, what am I supposed to learn from this stomach ache that I have right now? Because I had a stomach ache on my way to bed last night. I said, what am I supposed to learn from this belly ache that I just gave myself? And he said, you have to learn. I want you to remember. The Lord said to me, I want you to remember that people of God still struggle. That's it. It was just that I want you to maintain your sense of compassion. No matter where you are in me, no matter what you're doing for me, you have to experience this so that you can maintain that sense of compassion that Jesus Christ had when he walked the earth, to know that in this flesh we struggle.
And see, what's so wonderful about that story, that though that was a moment of weakness, but in the hearing is actually empowering. Because when we sit down and we show people, we're human just like you. Just like you.
That's
we have
right.
our moments, but God.
That's right.
Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
That's right.
And that test, you can't have a testimony without a test. That's right. That's what the saints always told me when I was a kid. Baby, you're going to have a wonderful testimony. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm going to have a wonderful testimony? Well, you're being tested. You're being tried. And when you get to the other side, you will tell your story and empower and encourage the saints.
Amen.
Now, if I would have nothing to say. I've had young people say to me, Miss Tina, I hear you because you understand where I've been.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
It's a blessing, even though at the time you were just struggling with that butterfinger. You and that butterfinger were wrestling like Jacob and the angel.
And I wasn't depressed. You know, I wasn't depressed or anything. I was tired in my body and maybe, you know, some other things, womanly things, you know, for the women on the line. But it wasn't like I was depressed or anything. I just wanted some chocolate. You know, it was either the ear or the chocolate. And since I did not put anything in my ear, praise God, because I'm not going to self-destruct, but it was a little bit frustrating because I'm losing weight. You know, it's like I want to be healthy. It's not even about the weight even, but sugar does not make me feel that great, especially too much of it. The Bible says that a little bit of honey is good for you, but too much makes you throw up. Too much makes you vomit. We have a call. I want to welcome everybody to the chat room. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see everybody today. We have Bob from the Recipe Box. We have Mrs. Dana Neal. We have a guest, 260, Mindy BTR. We also have Nova Gatson, who's been with us since we started. And good to see you all. God bless you. God bless you this morning. And we also have a caller on the line. I don't know if this is someone who wants to speak, but we're going to take this call. And you're all welcome to call in. Tina, Michelle, and I, we want to talk to you. We want you to share your testimony, share your struggles, share your victories. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we go through stuff. We're going to go through stuff. And everything that you go through is going to make you a better woman when you come out victorious. But you have to come out victorious. You know, and even if you fall, like I did with the butterfingers last night, you have to get up. You have to get back up. You can't just stay down and wallow in it. You're not perfect. That's another thing that God wants us to know today, that you don't have to be perfect. It's too hard to be perfect. Even Jesus, he was a human being. He was fully God and fully man, but he had those moments when he walked the earth. He's perfect now, but he had moments when he walked the earth when he was not perfect. He did not sin, but he was not perfect. And Bob from the Recipe Box says, yes, Jesus is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He was the friend of sinners. Amen. And amen. And that is so true. Jesus often dined with sinners and sat with sinners. And I don't want anybody to get it twisted that you go out and get a whole bunch of sinner friends that are just sinners. Our objective when we're around sinners is to turn them around and let them see the light. We're doing them, we're actually doing an injustice if we know all of this stuff about God and we have friends who are sinners and we never talk to them about Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, yeah, Jesus sat with sinners and he was ridiculed and persecuted because of that. People were like, how is it that he sits with sinners? And he says, well, the well don't need a doctor. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner, the ones who
That's
need
right.
me, the ones who can acknowledge that they're not perfect. Let's see if this caller wants to talk, Tina.
Yes.
Area code 111, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. if you want to speak. If you're just listening, say, just listening. Amen. I think they're just listening, a little bit shy, not shy, but don't really want to say anything. Maybe they can't say anything. But Tina, so that was my night. And the Lord, I wrote a poem. The Lord had me do some writing. He motivated me to write. And I'll share that another time because I have to rewrite it. But that's it. And I know we all struggle. We all struggle. You know, no matter how much word we have in us,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much we go to church, no matter what your position, we all struggle. We struggle with parenting. You heard me say my daughter, my adult daughter, has been here for going on 3 months. And we struggle with parenting. We struggle with money or believing God. We struggle with our faith. Let's just say it that way. Believing God. How many of you out there struggle with believing God sometimes?
You know, and it's funny because it's just a matter of, it's like a little tweak in your thinking. It's so small that we don't even realize that when we go down this sort of path of worry and frustration, we don't even realize it. And then we make a small little adjustment. It reminds me of a song we used to sing when I was a little girl. I was in this choir when I was 5 years old called Eternal Lights, and it was so cute. But the song that we used to sing all the time is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Yes.
And how simple is that song? As life gets more complicated, it's those simple things that get my mind adjusted. And I remember, oh, what peace I often forfeit, and what needless pain I bear, all because I do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
That small little verse has saved me from toiling on things mentally and maybe saying things I should not be saying, just because I remember that small little thing.
Well,
oh, let me speak to Daddy.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Have there been times when you have gone to God in prayer or that you have said, maybe sent out the prayer and have not received that immediate release? From whatever it was that you were.
Have there been times
when you prayed and still toiled? You know.
And there were times where I just, you know, would get mad at God.
Yes.
You don't hear me.
Yes.
I'm doing all this and you don't hear me. Remind me of Elisha. I'm doing all this work and all this other stuff and I'm sitting here, I'm the only one who's worshiping you. I'm the only one who's doing this. You know, we all have those moments, and I, you know, at one time I used to believe, oh, you can't say that to God. You can't be real with God about that, but he's your father. And
amen.
And you think he's shocked? He's going, oh, Tina, there's not a book in the Bible for you, so I don't know what to say to you. I don't have a word for you. So I've learned to, no matter what it is, and this is a learning. This is not something I just grew up and boom, it happened. It was a learning, and the learning comes from failing in it.
That's right. That's right.
Because I didn't do it before. The last time I went my own way.
That's right.
My own way brought destruction, death, confusion, and depression. Let me try this way. And even though I may not get the results I want immediately, but at least I'm in the ark of safety. And if I trust the Lord, because I didn't trust him before, and I got all that other stuff, if I trust the Lord, this time something may be different, even if I just have peace for a moment.
Amen. Amen. And we have to continually trust God. And the thing about it is just because you have a weak moment, and I'm not talking about, like I said, it was chocolate. It wasn't like a sin, you know, to just go out and I didn't go and get drunk or go and have an adulterous relationship with my husband, find another man, you know, because God shields me from that. But that not being able to resist the urge to eat some chocolate or to spend some money or to cry or to, you know, just fall down and have a big old sob fest, that is not sin. You know, when you're feeling weak, don't let the devil lie to you and deceive you and make you feel like, see, I told you were not a woman of God. See, I told you.
Lie he tells.
Yeah, that's a lie. What did he ask? What did he say to Jesus? He said, if you be the Son of God. And we have to know that the devil will always come in when you're having a weak moment to try to question your identity, to say you're really not a woman of God when you yell at your kids, when you yell at your husband. These are the things we're talking about today, you know. And even, like I said, if you go as far as a literal sin, like to get falling over drunk or to, you know, do something crazy, there's forgiveness for that also. There's shelter. You can always come back to God. When you step outside of the will of God, you can always come back. That's what we want to say today. We don't want anybody to leave this broadcast today feeling like just because you messed up, God doesn't love you anymore, or that the Holy Spirit doesn't reside in you, or that you don't have a call on your life or a purpose in your life. We want you to know for sure, that you are a woman of God. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you have believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter what your temptation and no matter how you yield, you are still a woman of God, and you're a woman of God in the making. God is still working on you. Continue to be the clay. Let God be the potter in your life. Let God work on you and mold you and shape you. My God, my God.
Yes.
Tina,
yes.
We have another caller. Let's take this call. Amen. Praise God. Barb from the Recipe Box says she wanted to call in, so I know who this is. Barb, welcome to Woman to Woman.
Thank you for taking my call.
God bless you. Good morning. Good afternoon,
good morning.
Actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. God bless you. I know this is going to be a full show, so that's why I wanted to post in there. I would like to call in because I wasn't sure how much time you would be able to take calls, because I know how this can get.
Yes.
I appreciate you taking my call. I'd like to just share two or three things as quickly as I can, because I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay, Barb.
One of the things that I just want to share how the Lord has taught me how to deal with situations like that so that I don't succumb to the point that I stay in that place. We all get to that place, but it's up to us to decide we're not going to stay in that place.
That's right.
Amen. And he has given me some keys to that, and that's just how he's trained me up. And so I just wanted to share a couple of instances where I was at a big conference. I had driven all night and been, you know, and met people from, you know how they have those international conferences where people come from all over the world. And I was there, and there was a banquet, and everyone was sharing at the table, and there was this little girl, she couldn't have been more than 9 years old, and she prophesied in her local church and that one's raised the dead and blah, blah, blah. And by the time I got back in my car at the end of the evening, I was like, Lord God, you know, I don't know that I've done anything for you.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know how you've been in the presence of people that have strong anointings, that have ministered all over the world. And this was some years ago, and I remember sitting in my car at the end of the evening and thinking, man, I want to do great and mighty things, and then I've been in the midst of all these folks, and I just don't feel like I've really done all of that much. I don't think, it was just one of those moments.
Yeah.
And after I got done talking to myself about it, because I don't know that God was listening to too much of it, you know, I think he can tune out a lot of the stuff. And I went on and on moaning and groaning about what I was not. And when I got done speaking, he simply said, go pray for that woman over there in that green dress. And so I got up and I did, and he spoke prophetically into her life, and she started weeping, and God dealt with some things in her life. And I went and I got back in the car, and I went on and I drove home. And God is saying, all I am asking you to do is be obedient in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, that whatever
Amen.
You did 5 minutes ago, he has already, the blood of Jesus has already washed that away. He has already dealt with that. God is not even dealing with any of that stuff anymore. We keep to bringing it up and saying what we didn't do and where we failed. And I ate that thing last night, and God, I'm still sorry. And you keep talking about how sorry you are about what you did, and you don't want to say I'm sorry, because sorry means you're pathetic and all that. And you may apologize. I always say I apologize, or I repent. But you never want to continue to condemn yourself, because my bishop always said, God has already moved on from that. He's already in your future waiting for you to get here.
Right.
And if you keep bringing that up, his thing that he's taught me is to stop focusing on you. And I think women tend to do that a little bit more than men. Well, we'll get there and we'll just continue to dissect ourselves and turn inwardly upon ourselves and focus back on that over and over and over again. And he has constantly taught me, stop thinking about you in this moment. Mm-hmm. Just stop thinking about you and go help someone else. And
Amen.
Keep your mind on somebody else and go pray for somebody else. As soon as you realize that you found yourself in that place, find somebody else to pray for.
Yeah.
And I
Amen.
Tell you what, the anointing will fall on you. It could be somebody, you know, it could be the typhoon victims in the Philippines. It could be anybody, any place in the world. If you focus your attention on praying for somebody else or bake some cookies and take them to somebody else.
I love baked cookies. I love fresh baked cookies.
Well, I'll bake them next time I'm in that place. I'll send them to you.
I will give you my address so you can send me some of those fresh baked cookies, and I know you can cook too. Barb is our friend from the Recipe Box, and she's written a couple of books, and she's right here on Blog Talk Radio at the Recipe Box, and that is just awesome, Barb. I totally agree with that. And I just want to say sometimes God will let you wallow, and he will let you get in there so that you can learn the lesson from it. See, anytime that we have a down moment, there's a lesson to be learned from that down moment.
That's right.
It's something about you. See, sometimes we'll be in church and we'll hear a message and we'll be like, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. She needs to hear this word, or he needs to hear this. But God is talking to you, and he's trying to deal with you. And this is what we do. We do this thing called denial. And I'm not talking about the river now, but we do denial. And God sometimes wants to stop us so that we can look at ourselves long enough, not to stay there, but long enough to say, okay, God, this is an area that you're trying to work on, and I've been holding it back from you. I haven't totally surrendered to you in this area, or I haven't totally surrendered to you an area of control. With me, everybody who listens knows that with me is control, and that's what God is dealing with me on, not being in control of everything, but I do have to get that spirit of self-control. Isn't it something that someone who deals with control, being a strong type A person, wanting to control situations, not people, but situations. I want to control what time we start the service. I want to control, you know, how what time I get to the church, especially when I have a car full of people. But God is saying, let go and let me in that area, and then develop the spirit of the fruit of self-control in this area. So sometimes it's something that God wants you to surrender to him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that word that I had gotten about my past, holding back my future, and I didn't understand that, and I had mentioned it to you, and I wasn't clear. I think I mentioned it to you.
Yes, you did.
And he asked me a real simple question about someone, and he said, if that person were to, now this was someone that I had forgiven, that I had just washed my hands of the situation, but God saw something in that, and he said, at this time, because it's blocking a blessing, it's blocking a major blessing, it was, and he said, if that person were to approach you, would you receive them? Now, I had already built up the wall, the fence, the, you know, dug the moat, you know, made, you know, put the dragon in the moat to make sure there was no way they could get to me ever again with that. Now, I had forgiven them for them to move on with their lives and for me to move on with my life, but as far as having them back in my life, no way. Not at that level. And so even though I thought that it was done with, God was like, if you're going to be a Joseph in this end time, then you have to be willing to be reconciled. And I wasn't ready for that. I was real comfortable with them being forgiven somewhere else, but not in my life. And
from
so
a distance.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Right. Exactly. And God, it's exactly what you were saying, Pastor Rebecca. God will point to that one little thing that's down deep, that little tiny minuscule thing that you have put so far down in your life that, you know, in your memory or whatever it is, that you don't even see it, you don't even feel like, I don't feel anything toward that person anymore. I think I'm done with it. And God is like, you're not done with that. You're not done with that. You know,
wow.
So he will ask you that very pointed question. And I spend an entire afternoon telling him, hey, wait a minute, whoa, wait, time out, wait a minute. You know, what are you saying? No, I like it the way it is. And obviously, he did not, you know, and it was blocking. So his thing was, if I have received them and if I have forgiven them and if I open my arms wide to them, how can you possibly not do the same?
Go ahead.
Yes.
So
that's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? So it's when I look at it that way, not a matter of if I'm willing to, it's like, how could I hold myself up higher than God
That's right.
Who is perfect, you know, to say that you're not worthy of, you know, of my attention. How could I possibly say that? So he will absolutely take you to that place that may be a point of pain because it's blocking something greater. And as soon as you can put that thing behind you, the faster that blessing can drop in your life. And
Absolutely.
It's an anointing that he can put on you in a moment if you're willing to deal with it. But you're not supposed to camp out there. Absolutely
That's
not.
That's right.
No, you're definitely not supposed to camp there. I put a post up. I'm going to mention this and let you go. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and Stephanie Tubbs Jones was our representative, and she passed away yesterday.
Wow.
Congresswoman and an icon in the community, and she was only 57 years old. And I'm mentioning that because I did put it on my blog, and I'd like to post a link only because I put on my blog what is on your to-do list for today. Mm-hmm. And I had it on my to-do list to contact her for an interview. Not that that's a big deal, but we need to start focusing more on the priorities of our lives.
Absolutely.
And looking at the greater good, because a lot of people are so obsessed with success or dealing with some other issues that we really don't look for the greater good. You know, we're not willing to do the sacrifice that Jesus did. You know,
well, Barb, it goes right back to your point. It goes to your point that if you have things in your past cluttering, you know, it might be something that you think it's let go. You might think it has no impact on you. But if God is pointing to it, apparently it's cluttering your space. It might be cluttering your emotions. It might be cluttering something in your life. When we have all this stuff around us, it's hard for us to hit those to-do items because we're not clear. It's hard for us to be available to hear from the Lord because the spirit of offense builds a fence between you and God. These things that happened in the past make us afraid of things that might happen in the future.
Oh.
But stop stuff right now. This stops us from moving forward right now. And all we have is now. I had a conversation just this past weekend with my dad. And my father is prolific. I call him a street prophet. And he reminded me of something when he was speaking to me. He said to me, Tina, he says, what you do is you focus on the moment. You're a master of that. But right now, you're not in the moment because you're worrying about something. You want to change things. And he said, it's great to want to change the world. He says, but you can't change everything. He said, in the Art of War, it states this, Tina, that if you cannot change it, you can't change everything, but being present, by being present, you impact the world around you. So it might need to want to change this and change that and change, you know, that's our mindsets. Our mindsets are we want to preach the gospel. We want to move this way and bless and touch that person. We want to see change. We want to see transformation. Sometimes all you have is that moment, and in that moment, you can impact someone.
Absolutely.
That's
and
good.
If you're hearing from the past situation and you're afraid of your future, you've lost that moment.
Well, You've lost that moment because the moment cannot be the moment cannot. That's good, Tina. That's good. And what is you hearing from your past? Because, you know, so often, both of you ladies said something monumental. Barbara talked about forgiveness and that we have a responsibility to forgive. And Tina, you talked about if you're in the past, then you lost that moment. And you mentioned your father, which made me think about my father, whom I hated for most of my adult years. Can you know that I hated my father for 25 whole years out of my life, from 10 until 35? And I thank God that I forgave him in the last 10 years of his life, because he passed away in March, and he was saved, and I thank God he was saved. But my father was not a nice person when I was growing up, and he impacted my life in such a negative way that a lot of my behavior did become negative. And I thank God that he came when I cried out to him and pulled me up out of that pit that I had dug for myself, because, you know, things happen to us. And we have a right to be upset about when people treat us wrong, when people deal with us treacherously. But the thing about it is everything else becomes our responsibility. You know, the responsibility to not spend our whole life living in the past of that pain, living in the pain of that past.
Can
we have to get to a point where we forgive And we have to forgive because we've been commanded to forgive. But if we don't forgive, we're holding ourselves in bondage because we can't continue to move forward if we don't forgive.
Absolutely. And then you have that word, responsibility. We throw it around a lot. But it's a very simple word. It means the ability to respond.
Right, right.
If you do not forgive, you do not have the ability to respond fully to other situations in your life. I'm going to go back to the conversation with my father, because you and I think we've discussed this offline, Pastor.
Yes.
Where my father, over the years, my father abandoned when I was a baby. And when he did come back, he came back to control certain things in my life. You'll go to this college, otherwise I won't pay for it. You'll do this, otherwise I won't do that. So being the way I was raised by my mother. So there wasn't really a control because I said, well, you haven't paid for anything anyway, so what's the difference? But I had an animosity towards my dad. When I became born again, you know, in my late teens and early, beginning of my 20s, I mentally forgave my father. But I never, ever mentioned the things that that hurt me in that relationship to him. I just try to just, you know, blow it off, just move on, and just forgive him. Now, maybe at that level it was okay because the Lord blessed me to be able to minister to my father, and my father accepted the Lord with me. And that was a blessing. That was huge. But there were still impacts of that relationship that I made all my decisions from when it came to men,
wow.
When it came to how I saw the world. So I may not have had a seed of bitterness in me, but I was still affected. I was still impacted in my decision-making processes and how I saw things. And it was not honoring God. That belief did not serve where I was going in ministry, where I was going in speaking. Because I had something in my mind that said that men do X, Y, and Z. So Father's Day comes, and it was not spoken. It was, you know, it was very subconscious. Father's Day comes, and, you know, I just turned 40, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And he calls me, and he said, I really want you to know that I want your forgiveness for not being your dad. And I said, Daddy, we had this discussion before. He said, I just really, really want you to know that I want your forgiveness. And I said to him, I said, Dad, in order for me to forgive you, I need to tell you what I need to forgive you from. So that thing can be settled forever. Because you weren't there, I was molested. Because you weren't there. Now, this happens to people with two parents, but in my mind, I saw his absence as a lack of protection from the things that I went through. Because you weren't there, my mother and I suffered many things financially. Because you chose to control me, I had to take a harder route just to be true to myself and not let you manipulate me. Because you weren't there, I made certain decisions about the men that I was with so I could just avoid marrying you.
Wow.
And those are the things I needed to forgive you for, that I've not only have held not a feeling but a behavior in my space that does not glorify God, because really I was conditioned to loathe you. And I release that now in the name of Jesus. My father started to weep,
wow.
And I started to weep. And it just released me from so many different things in that moment that I did not realize that I was so congested in, Pastor.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. And when I say congested, I use that word on purpose because there were things that the Lord had been saying for me to do, but I had no ability to respond to the call because I had all that bitterness and hatred and animosity and loathing inside of me that I couldn't even hear him, because God doesn't speak through hatred. He speaks through love.
That's good.
So wow. Now I'm telling you, within days, God started to speak clearly about my vision, started to speak clearly, not just you are called to do X, Y, Z, it's no, now do this, now order this, now align this, now do this. I was getting specific details because I was no longer congested.
Yeah.
With a past offense.
Yeah.
That didn't, and it was almost like God was speaking, but now, you know, the volume was turned up. I heard the frequency better. I was able to hear from him in a way that I was not able to hear from him.
Yeah.
And you don't know until you get to the other side. That's why it's so important for us as sisters and to tell these stories, saying, I was down.
Yeah.
But when this adjustment came, or when the Lord said, baby, it's okay, go ahead and do that. this is not a sin unto death. Just
right.
understand what you did.
Yeah,
and
so
understand
many,
the why.
Yeah, and so many things have happened. I see the I feel the anointing on that testimony. So many people are blessed by that testimony. Because so many of us have had stuff happen to us. We've had people drop the ball on us. We've had fathers abandon us. You know, we've had people that we trusted, you know, just throw that trust back in our faces. You know, and even we've been stabbed in the back and slapped in the face and molested and raped and abused and battered. And, you know, so many things have happened in the lives of women. And even we as Christian women, we struggle with being victorious over these things. You know, we know that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You know, but still we have these broken relationships, you know, with members of our family, with our parents, with our spouses, you know, that we still have to live with on a daily basis. And the key right there, Tina, right there, you and Barb, you will both broach the key today, is forgiveness. God, Jesus said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And one of those keys is forgiveness. That we have to forgive, or we are going to continue to be congested, you know, continue to even make ourselves congested when we feel free enough to move, because this thing is immobilizing us, you know,
it's
anger,
paralyzing
this bitterness, this unforgiveness, it's paralyzing us and making us not even want to move forward because of what happened back then. But God is saying that, he said, rivers of living water shall flow from your belly, and we have to allow ourselves to be decongested so that we can flow. And that was so key, what you said, Tina, that we cannot flow unless we get rid of the decongestion. I want to welcome Tobias C. and another one of our guests, as well as Yvonne Rees-Tong and Hal Elegant, to the chat room. God bless you and welcome. And the phone lines are open.
Amen.
You can call in and join in on this dialogue that we're having about the struggles of being a Christian woman, the struggles that we have every single day. We have to keep it real. We have to take off the mask. See, because when we hide behind self-righteousness, then the power of the righteousness of Christ cannot flow through our lives.
It's a mask. We are insulating ourselves. And, you know, I want to say this because...
Let me get the phone number. So, call in. The phone number is 646-652-4832. Go ahead, Tina.
I want to say this because I want to make sure that we understand that our relationship with God is about love. So when we're saying... you know, you have to forgive. You have to do that. God is a just God. He would not tell you to do something that he has not empowered or made the power available to do.
Absolutely.
By seeking God, staying in his face, staying in his word, puts you in a position to even have the strength to take off the insulation of the mask, to take off the insulation of pretense, to take off all those things that we put around ourselves, our position, our dignity, our jobs, so that people stay away from us. But when we say we forgive you, that word is not post-give you. It's for. We do it in advance, and we give you release.
Amen. And we have Dana in the chat room, and her comment is that she needs to forgive. You know, she needs to forgive her father. And that's one thing that I realize a lot of us, so many of us, have daddy issues. You know, I believe that most of us were broken as little girls, not broken the spirit. Of the girl. The spirit of the girl was broken because we were born with all of these great dreams and great desires and this great zeal for life. And then life happened. You know, something happened. Somebody let us down. And in most cases, it's our daddies. You know, it's our father, not male bashing. Because again, I love my father. I can say I love my father today. When he went home to be with the Lord in March, I did his funeral. To God be the glory. I eulogized the remains of what his shell that he lived in on this earth. But what I'm saying is we have to get there. It's not easy. It's a constant it's a struggle, you know, and I just have to put it out there like that. We fight not against flesh and blood. The devil does not want us to forgive, because the devil does not want us to operate in the fullness of life, that life more abundantly that Jesus came to give us. And Dana says she needs to forgive her father so that she can be fully healed, and so that she can trust her husband and her sons.
Amen.
Because that daddy hatred that we experience, it carries over into the other men that come into our lives.
That's exactly what the Lord had.
Amen.
Wait.
If
amen.
I could just share just something, just
go ahead, Barbara.
Real quick, and then I'll jump off the line. But I know my pastor has said, he said, I don't prepare a message, I prepare my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always a matter of putting your heart before the Lord. If you can sit and put, you know, before you start dealing with all of these issues that you have with past relationships or whatever, you've got to sit before the Lord and open your heart before the Lord. And when he shows you something, he has an anointing to deal with it. And that was the key for me with that situation, and not just that one, but some other things with my mother's passing last year, was, God, you know this is too big for me, and you have an anointing to do this thing. And so you have to trust him to empower you, because in your own mind and in your own strength and in your own emotions, you may be, as Pastor Rebecca was saying at the start, you may be in a weak moment. You may be in a situation where too much is coming at you at one time, or too much is flooding back into your memory from the past. And so you have to trust God in that moment, that his empowerment by his anointing, by his spirit, we don't think about that sometimes. We think that we're just, like you said, throwing scripture out at folk, and that's going to take care of it. But it's a work of the heart, and it's a work of the spirit. And so when I told him, I'm willing to let you come into my heart and flow through me to deal with this thing, because I don't have it in me to do it. And so as soon as my will lined up with his will, then his power came in and dealt with it. Because in that moment,
and that's the key.
I felt nothing. I felt no hatred. I felt no resentment. It was just God just took it away. And you got to believe he can do that thing. He can take it away so that you can live in the blessing. So I'm going to get on the line. I just want
Amen. God bless you, Bob. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing with us on today. We definitely appreciate your input.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Barb.
God bless
you. That's a major key that she just said, because in the beginning of her testimony, she said, I don't know if I'm willing to do that. And then at the end she said, God's will. Your will be done.
Yeah, and we always have to think about Jesus too, you know, because that the now God is putting into place the building blocks for forgiveness, you know, that we have to know that we are incapable in our own flesh, that it's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, that he does what he needs to do in our lives. Then we have to surrender and say, God, I can't do it, but I know that you can do it, so I'm asking you now to help me to forgive. So that's the next step. And then the final step is, God, I surrender. I surrender this hatred. I surrender this bitterness. I surrender this unforgiveness. I give it to you. I surrender this familiar pain, that this familiar spirit that's been with me all of these years, and I don't want to travel with it anymore. It's been uncomfortable but comfortable, because it's like I've been carrying around like a security blanket. But God, I'm ready to release. I've been using it as a scapegoat. My pain has been a scapegoat in so many areas where I'm like, okay, I can say that I acted like that because of what my father did or did not do. I hated men and I mistreated men in my life because my father wasn't there. I laid around and slept around with men that were not my husband because my father wasn't there. I got high and drunk because my father wasn't there. I pushed my husband away because my father wasn't there. And I used my pain and what had happened to me in my past as a scapegoat. So you have to be willing to surrender your scapegoat, to surrender your excuses, to have no excuses to not have the victory that God has for you. And it's scary, because now you're saying, okay, God, I don't have my scapegoat. I don't have any excuses. I'm giving up the pain. pain and the unforgiveness, and now I have no excuse not to be happy, not to be victorious, not to be a good wife or a good mother, or not
That's
to
right.
give up some of these vices and some of these crutches that I picked up along the way. So you have to totally surrender to God and say, God, take it away from me, because it's not serving your purpose. It's not serving God's
Amen.
Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana, God's going to help you with that. Amen. And I believe
yes.
that you're getting liberated right now.
Yes,
and
yes. God, I want to stop and pray. God, I just want
amen.
To stop and
praise
pray
God. God's, let me finish this, Tina.
Mm-hmm. No
God's
problem.
Bringing you out. He's bringing you out of that, you know, because we have to deal with the pain of the past in order to move forward. And Tina's going to pray, and then we'll go, if we have time after that, we'll continue. But I believe, and with, that's why we're here as sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know, to touch and agree. That's why I put on the board today the struggles of being a Christian woman. We don't get to Christianity. We don't get to Christ, and now we've arrived. And I thank God for your transparency, Dana. I just thank God for it, because we're getting free up in here. I don't know what
oh,
they're
yeah.
doing or everywhere else, but up in here, we're getting free up in here, up in here. Amen. So, Tina,
Amen.
Go ahead and pray. My God.
Father, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. I praise you because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Freedom. And we thank you and acknowledge you that your Spirit is here, and we have access to you because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. I thank you for my sister, Dana, right now, who's listening to my voice. And I thank you for the other sisters who probably have maybe be thinking about it, and brothers who are impacted the same way. They may be thinking about it, but they have not spoken it. Father, you know. You know that every day you give us a choice. You said, choose ye this day which you will serve. And that is not a position of bondage. It's a position of liberty to say, today I put down my pain. Today I release this pain so I can walk powerfully
yes,
in your purpose by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. So I ask you, we come into agreement right now that you would just hug Dana right where she is by your Spirit. And show her that you are Abba. You are the Father of fathers. You are Father of us
yes,
all.
God.
And your characteristics, your character, no matter what we've seen in the natural, is that you are a loving, merciful God. That you will that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers.
Yes, Lord.
That is your desire as our daddy. And as we come to you and grab onto your feet like little girls, Father, we say, Lord, release us. Release us from
yes.
this pain. And you
Hallelujah.
Say, it is my will that you prosper and be in health, physical, spiritual, and emotional health, even as your soul
yes, God. Hallelujah.
Prospers.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
so I declare that for my sister today in the name of Jesus, that she
yes.
is in health as her soul prospers. Because it is the will of her Father in heaven.
Hallelujah.
And that word, the word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and is alive and active, will become a point of revelation for her today so that she can walk it out and realize all the places, not all the places where she's in pain, but all the places that she has been delivered already.
Yes, God.
Because of saying, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes, Lord.
Every man alive. So I thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. I just
thank
worship
you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That this is what's happening today. That as Pastor Rebecca said, we're here to be real.
Yes,
that we're
Lord.
Able to be real, stripped down naked before God with whatever it is. And then be able to say, but God, where evil abounds, grace much more abounds. But
yes.
God is with us always. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we can trust our daddy, even if we could not trust our fathers that were physically here. So all relationships that have been impacted in Dana's life, in our lives, we thank you that we have been called to the ministry
yeah.
of reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
And that the gap has been bridged by the
yes.
intercessor.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And now we can walk over to the other side now.
Yes,
where we
Lord.
Had ashes, now you have given us beauty.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Where we had mourning, Father, you have given us the oil of joy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Where we fought to be right in our own minds, you have given us the garment of righteousness.
Yes, God.
To do things your way as a gift. And we thank you for that, that we receive that corporately on this line. And for those who are paying, listening to the replay, right now in the name of Jesus, all of us have received it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power to forgive today, God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you, Father God, even as Jesus Christ was on the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, God, we thank you, Lord, that the same power, the resurrection power that rose Jesus Christ up from the dead resides on the inside of each and every one of us. So for each person on this line, for each person on this broadcast, for each person listening who needs to release, who needs to forgive, God, we thank you that we have the power, that the dunamis, to forgive, God.
Yes.
So we thank you, Lord, that right now we call out, Father, forgive him, forgive her, forgive that person who hurt me, for they know not what they did. So we thank you, Lord, that we have released the bitterness from the past, the pain from the past today, right now, as we cried out, Abba, Father, help us,
Father.
Help us, help us, and forgive those who have trespassed against us, even, Lord, as we need forgiveness of our own sins. Forgive us of our sins right now in the name of Jesus. And we love you, Lord, and we bless your name, and we receive it, and we release everything to you right now. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Tina, what a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful heartfelt prayer. Amen. For our sisters. And we only have 4 minutes left. But I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
You, Lord God.
My God.
God.
My God. God is a living God, and he's so concerned about us. I love him. And he took my little testimony with Butterfingers to remind me that women still hurting out there. Women are still hurting out there. You know, my stress is, you know, just hoping and praying that I would be able to live up to everything that God has called me to do. And even then, God is telling me to let go and let him, because God has not given us stress. He's given us peace. And you know, we have to walk in the peace of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was walking in the peace of Butterfinger last night. But, you know, we have victory. You know, what I'm saying is, and with Tina and I, and even Barb, our caller, what we're saying is you already have the victory, and you're walking in it. And don't let the devil lie to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, you know. And as a woman sows, so shall she also reap. And today, all of us, men, and I do see it's some men, and I know some men do listen, men and women today, we have sown to the Spirit. So you're reaping, my God, you're reaping a return in the spiritual realm. Amen. Your life has been enlightened just because the Lord led you this way today. My life has been enlightened. And Tina's life has been enlightened just because the Lord put us here on Blog Talk Radio today. Amen. So until next week, we want you to walk in that strength, walk in the power that has been deposited on the inside of us on today. Tune into our website, nccmonline.org. There's a video there. I preached the sermon, Let Go and Let God, and you can see that video for the rest of this week. And it's a powerful word from the Lord. Amen. So you want to go on over there. Tina, you have any information you want to share with our listeners?
That they continue to be in prayer. I mean, if you want to read more about me, they could always go to tinaspeaks.com.
Tinaspeaks.com.
That's more of a professional profile, which, you know, I'm in a space right now. I just want people to see the Lord, and I just want to see the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what I do, but who I am is his daughter.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you just love Tina? I love Tina. I just love having you with me, Tina.
I love you too. Life changing relationships. And, you know, on the final note, I want to say just really quick, if we have a second, that I used to wonder why God isn't doing X, Y, and Z. Why isn't he doing X, Y, and Z? And, you know, we pray for cars, we pray for blessings, we pray for a whole bunch of things. But I realized that the entire 66 books of the Bible is about relationships.
Yes.
And his relationship with us and our relationship with men around us, people around us. So if we don't get that, the timing a lot of times is delayed because of a relationship that God is trying to put into your life, or a relationship that you need to forgive, or a relationship that has not come yet, because he blesses his body. He's blessing his babies. And he wants us to work in unity. We cannot do that with bitterness or resentment in our heart.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we have 38 seconds. I want to say, Dana, go Dana. Go Dana. God's taking you to another dimension in him. Amen.
Yes.
And he's showing you revelation. Get into prayer and let God finish the work that he's begun. He's faithful, and he will complete the work that he's begun in you. I want to thank everybody. We want to thank Tina, Michelle, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Tune in next week to Woman next Thursday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time right here on Power in the Word. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my sister, and yes, you too, my brother, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Go in peace.
Amen.
And serve the Lord. God bless you, Tina.
God bless you.